Hello, I'm Sheila Dillon, and welcome to this BBC download of the Food Programme. For information on the BBC's terms and conditions of use, visit www.bbc.co.uk/radio4. And now, enjoy the podcast.
It's now 8:10 in the morning. We are busy potting up cheese, fruit, tuna, coleslaw, everything fresh for the day to put out for lunchtime for the children.
While the first of its 1,000 children arrive for breakfast at the David Young Community Academy, fresh lunch prep has started. The academy sits on a low hill, a huge oval of glass, wood and concrete, handsome in its landscape surroundings. Its high perimeter fence with electronic locks is the only immediate sign that we're in one of the toughest areas of Leeds. It's an academy sponsored by the Church of England, but it's open equally to all faiths and none. And when it opened 7 years ago, under the same head and management team who lead it now, food, good food, was one of the pillars of the school's philosophy.
When you're trying to create a culture of care and love that really supports students, food is a marvellous platform for doing that.
Take-up of school meals at the David Young Community Academy is over 70%, and that's exactly what the recently launched school food plan aims to make happen in dining halls up and down the country. How they've made that happen and how they've put food at the centre of school life is the story we'll be telling in this programme. The plan itself was put forward in July by John Vincent and Henry Dimbleby, and it's all about getting more children eating school food, improving what's on the table, and dealing at root with a major health crisis. After visiting over 60 schools in England, John and Henry felt there were three key things that linked all the schools that are getting food right.
One, they concentrate on the things children care about. Good food, attractive environment, social life, price and brand. Two, they adopt what is often called, in the jargon, a whole school approach. This is actually a simple idea, but an important one. It means treating the dining hall as an integral part of the school, where children and teachers eat, lunch as part of the school day, the cooks as important staff members, and food as a vital element of school life. Three, they have a head teacher who leads the change.
Glenn, there's some fruit squelched on the technology corridor.
I'll get that, Miss.
Thanks.
Okay.
Ros McMullen is the academy's principal. She's been working on and at the school since before the foundations were laid. One highly unusual thing about the school is that no services, apart from 24-hour, 365-day outside security, are outsourced. Cleaners, kitchen staff, everybody is on salary, and the living wage, not the minimum wage, is basic pay. I asked Ros about that policy.
It's a rare school. I mean, I've been to a lot of schools where the kitchen staff and the teaching staff are on the same level.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't we be? We're both doing a really vital job for the same purpose, to nurture the children and to do the best for them. So there is nobody more important than anybody else in the academy.
As the kitchen gears up for breakfast downstairs, upstairs the senior management meet. Someone's brought in a cake, coffee cups are charged, and Lynn Frost, Rosie's number two, is chairing.
You're all right with your duties now, Sean? You happy with that?
Yeah.
I've had a very difficult week this week, but she came to me yesterday morning and said, I didn't behave as I should yesterday, Mrs. Frost.
I can't see it.
Please, could I apologise? My behaviour was unacceptable. Did anybody set that up?
Yeah.
You did? Well, she was absolutely ladylike, so thank you for that.
That's good to know. That's
really
good.
And of course, things that came out with our meeting with yesterday, Mum, she actually said that one of the things that she's struggling with, a change of house parent, that she's struggling and she's missing. Okay, it's 20 past. Let's go.
Before Lynn got going, I asked her why good food was put at the heart of the academy from the very beginning.
were absolutely convinced that food would be the centre of everything that we did. We do have a number of different cultures here, and food is a way of sharing and accepting those cultures, along with music, of course. That's another thing that we use. It's also a way of making sure that when the children are here, particularly when they've got breakfast, it starts their day well. They have wonderful, wonderful lunches, so they can learn and have time to think and spend time with each other around the tables, with the staff and with other children.
The Academy's restaurant is a really welcoming space. Blonde wood tables and chairs. It's airy, there are high ceilings. It's inviting. A bit pret-a-manger, a bit Starbucks. It's a grown-up place to share a meal. A group of sixth formers described it best.
It's got big bay windows on it, so it lets a lot of light in.
Green walls.
The space, it's really spacious. It's like you feel at home, really.
It's a massive social area where there's a lot of inspiration and there's just a lot of joy in it. There is quotes on the wall that help, like, inspire you.
Buildings are more than functional spaces. They are things of beauty and meaning, expressing the values and beliefs of us who created them. Without a doubt, yeah, it's true.
There's a common assumption that academies are privileged, that life's easier for them than other schools. And it's an assumption I put to Principal Ros McMullen.
That assumption's just plain wrong anyway, because we are one of the original academies, so we are massively privileged in that we got the new building. That's it. End of. Actually, the students here came from the two, in inverted commas, worst schools in Leeds. We replaced, and all 1,000 students came lock, stock and barrel on day one. The building is the one where we are massively privileged. We have a great building, and we're very, very grateful for that. But we are funded in exactly the same way as any other school. We are independent, though. I don't have to do what local authority schools have to do. I can do it in the way that I think best suits our students. I think that degree of independence is a huge privilege. That's where starts and finishes, really.
A lot of the kitchen staff came directly from two failing schools that the Academy replaced. It was a big change in all sorts of ways.
My name is Susan Smith. I used to work at Agnes Stewart High School, and when Agnes Stewart and Brainwood closed, we all transferred up to the Academy in 2006. So I've been here since it opened, basically. Agnes Stewart, it was a bacon sandwich, sausage sandwich, cheese rolls, pizza, crisps, chocolate, fizzy drinks for breakfast. That's what it was. There was nothing like this. Now the students come in, and they come in on a morning. They all have like 15 minutes. So many classes come down at a time, do you know what I mean? And then it is fresh orange juice and fruit, or fresh orange juice and cereal. That's in the summer. And in the winter, we do porridge and toast, fresh fruit and orange juice every day. And they absolutely love it.
Hello, you're one of the teachers, right?
Yeah, I'm Mr. Binns, geography teacher.
At breakfast, free to all, teachers serve the food to their students.
Sometimes the love that they might not get at home, we need to show that here for them, because it's not the best area that the students come from, basically.
Sometimes we have, like, cornflakes, and sometimes we have toast, but now we just have cornflakes.
While I'm doing breakfast, I also do the paninis for lunch in between, sort of like serving. I do that as well. So I am just going to go get the paninis out now and get my trays and my tongs and my cloths and everything set up for that. I like to be organised, you can tell.
Music marks the changes in the day. Between 8:30 and 10:30, 1,000 students will eat breakfast as lessons, such as design technology, go on.
We're making a box, and we think it, because we have to carve a picture out of it, and we're thinking of putting One Direction picture on.
We don't know how it'll work out. We won't be able to put all of One Direction on it.
Stop. Pull it out. Can you pull it?
No.
So I'm taking you down to the restaurant now. They're probably getting towards the end of the preparation period because breakfast's finished. So everybody in the academy will have had breakfast. And the staff will be getting all the lunchtime stuff out.
It's always been called the restaurant, never the canteen, never the dining hall.
Sometimes it gets called the diner by accident, but we make an effort to call it the restaurant, and the children would be used to us calling it the restaurant. You know, that's what we make an effort to call it.
And it looks like a restaurant.
It does look like a restaurant, yeah.
Beautiful tables, beautiful chairs.
I made
chairs.
Sure that the furniture was nice. And when you look around, and you know, 1,000 people have had breakfast here this morning. You would not know that. At first, you know, when we first opened, the children weren't used to using an area like this at all, and it was difficult. But now, the routines are really embedded, and the children value it, and they work hard here to keep it nice, really. Today's Thursday, so there's always a panini choice. Kids love the paninis. Meatballs and tomato and basil sauce, or spaghetti served with cream and mushrooms, that's the veggie alternative. Baked egg custard with fresh fruit compote. And the whole meal is £1.80, or it's a free school meal. And we don't portion control, we serve according to hunger. You look at the size of some of the portions some of the big boys get. It's horrendous. I don't know where to put it. That's the fresh fruit and sandwich filler, baked potato filler thing. These are the sandwiches that have been laid out.
Baskets, salad bar. Fruit.
The salad bar is interesting because the kids didn't used to eat salad at all, but now the kids eat loads of salad.
You know. It's interesting what's here. I mean, spring onions, what is it? Pasta coleslaw.
There's lots of pasta salads.
Feta and tomato.
Like cottage cheese, that looks like a Greek salad. Beetroot.
Grated carrot.
Smoked mackerel
with tomatoes.
And olive oil to put on it. French dressing. It's proper stuff.
Back here, a proper kitchen.
Hello. I'll introduce you to our head chef, Chef Richard, who's been here for the whole 7 years.
Nice to meet you.
How seriously did you take appointing a head chef?
We advertised. We were surprised how easy it is to get a good quality field, actually. We think that's the working hours that a school provides as opposed to a restaurant. But we were so lucky to get Chef Richard, who just got it. He just got it. He understood the vision straight away.
What did he get?
That these students were going to get the very best of everything to help them be successful in society, and food would be central to that.
When we started, we took the decision to use, as far as we were able to, local suppliers and source as much fresh produce locally as we possibly could. You know, meatballs today, they're not frozen, they're all made fresh for me yesterday, you know. Lovely pork, lovely beef in them. We use a local fruit and veg supplier. Obviously, we can source bananas from Yorkshire, but...
But I did notice, I'd never seen that in a school before. You have Victoria plums out there. Seasonal fruit. I mean, usually there's a Granny Smith, a banana, and that's it. Mm.
What they're doing now is they're taking the food to the satellite restaurant. The restaurant itself isn't large enough for every child to be able to remain seated while they're eating. So we have an upper and a lower satellite, and that means that nobody gets hurried. Once you've sat down, you're able to sit for the lunch period and you're not being chased out.
So we'll go and look at the satellites,
yeah. So these are sixth formers. They're coming down early because they want to avoid the queues. And some staff as well. They just look like sixth formers. Are we just opening the lower one today?
No,
this one. So this is the upper satellite.
About 15 small tables. The food trolley has arrived.
All we do is walk. We walk for miles.
The hot food and the cold food.
And the fruit pots. Oh, can't get enough of them. They're absolutely... I've never known kids eat like this.
My name is Michelle and I'm a kitchen assistant at the DYCA in Leeds. I'm loving it.
When the two schools merged, I came from Agnes Stewart and... fruit was a no-no.
Was it a shock when you first came here in what you were being asked to do?
We were absolutely cream-crackered. We was going to hang the chef. We didn't like him. She's laughing. We'd got him hung, line and quartered. We were going to hang him. Oh, we hated him. I cried for days. I really didn't. I got in and I went, I'm not going back, I don't like it. And then all of a sudden I just went, yeah, I love it.
These ladies were taken on board because of who they are. They're really good with children and everything else. But what we had in mind food-wise, they'd never seen the like of it before, so you would expect that reaction. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Jeremy. Absolutely.
Right, now you'll see them diving in.
Hiya.
Hi ladies. What's happening now is everybody in the academy is moving and they're all going to form. It's 12 o'clock, everybody's going to the form base. And they'll stay in their form now until 20 past one. But during that period, they will have a lunch break of 35 minutes.
Martin Zulu.
Hi Martin. What have you had for your lunch?
Spaghetti and meatballs.
And then you're about to have?
Grapes.
Just carrots, please.
Tell me your name.
Callum Crew. I'm having meatballs and pasta, and they're really nice. And there's plenty of options to go with that. You get your main course, there's salad, there's veg, there's everything you can think of, and it's just enough for a meal.
Can I get a ketchup, please? Pot of strawberries, pot of strawberries.
It's lunchtime now, and I am manning the tills. I was serving earlier, but we've just swapped over. When the student swipes the card, not only does the picture comes up, it will tell me if that child is a preschool meal or not. It'll tell me everything that they've spent today. If I want to go into today's sales, I can do, just to check that that child has eaten or that they're not telling fibs. The free school meal students always have £1.80 on the card, but they can top up that a little bit to want. They might just want to put 50 pence on to make sure they can get a drink.
I gather that sometimes you have children who are neither on the free meal scheme or get packed lunches from home, and you have a number of students you have to feed. Mm. How do you manage that?
We feed them.
How do you pay for that?
Well, it's just part of what we subsidise. We find out a kid isn't eating during the day, we feed them. If somebody's hungry, you feed them, don't you? How do we pay for it? We just, we subsidise food here. I mean, these are questions for my finance director. So, who I suspect doesn't quite know how much we do have to feed the hungry sometimes. But I think he does deep down.
My name is Adnan Bashir, and I'm the Director of Finance for the Leaf Academy Trust.
We're trying to understand how the food part of the academy is financed. Can you outline how the economics of this work?
It's funded in two parts. The first part relates to those students who are on free school meals. If they're on free school meals, we get a proportion of funding from the Department of Education, and they fund us on a unit basis per child who qualifies for free school meals.
What percentage of the pupils are on free school meals, and what's your income from the Department of Education?
The proportion of students who qualify for free school meals is 59% currently for our school, which is quite high compared to most schools I've been aware of. And we get funded in the region of £550,000 per year for those 59-60% of students that we have. So it's not an inconsiderable sum of money, but then we do feed a lot of students. So that's one element of funding. The other element is those students who pay for their school meals. And the amount of funding we get for that is actually quite negligible in relation to free school. So we average about £75,000 a year for students who actually pay for their meals. Let's say £630,000-£640,000 a year total income for our catering provision.
And how much does catering cost?
Catering for us, if you were to build in all the variables in terms of overheads, maintenance, depreciation, it costs us about £700,000 a year. We have key areas of our provision that are protected, that we ring fence. So that area has to have a certain amount of money. Catering and staffing costs are two of those key areas, and we focus on those bits first, and then we build in all the other expenditure and budgets that we have around there.
And so Adnan's role as finance director is crucial, efficiently negotiating deals on everything the school buys beyond food and staff, and finding ways to bring in extra revenue, like offering a consultancy service to other schools.
And I think we're finished, and now I've got to go wash up.
Right. We're going to have our lunch now because it's a quiet period before the next wave.
Exactly, and we don't push in front of children, so we have to go when it's quiet or queue.
I have the meatballs, please.
A lot of people listening will not have the advantage of building something from the ground up. What can they take from your experience?
Bring it in-house. If you're too small to do so, get yourself into a partnership with a very close neighbouring school and do it in that way, because you need to have control over it.
You think your control over this is key to what works in this school?
Yeah. I'm not having to negotiate with some manager if I want something changed. It just happens. I just say I want that and it happens.
Those meatballs were as good as any I've had in starry Italian restaurants. I was really struck by the freedom Chef Richard has to be a chef.
I've always been an early riser. I get out of bed at 5:30 in the morning. I love my strong coffee in the morning, large cappuccino, go and sit in the garden with my coffee, start thinking about what I need to be doing that day for the following day. It's always on your mind. Even during the holidays, there's always things to do. You might see something. I might be out and spot something and think, that would look nice on our menu at school. That's the sort of thing I do. When I'm in town, I'll walk into a deli or I'll walk into a food shop and I'll walk into Greg's or somebody like that and have a look, see what they're selling, see what the most popular thing is, then come back to the academy and reinvent the menu.
Of course, the argument is always, well, we can't afford that.
Yeah. And actually, we really struggle and we've had to shave money off the food budget and maintain quality. We work with local suppliers. Chef Richard works really, really hard on that. We do subsidise it. We have to. But it makes a difference.
A lot of schools are tied into catering contracts with the local authority or other organisations. However, with effective negotiation, they can introduce improvements that they think are necessary. We've spoken to schools and advised them that they should be pushing the suppliers for better returns, for better products, for more variety. And where they have challenged those suppliers, they've actually come through and provided that. But without having that confidence to challenge those suppliers, nothing actually happens.
Let's talk about the humble carrot. If I had battered carrots or sliced carrots or whatever on the menu, I can actually purchase them from a supplier like every other hotel in the land, prepared. But what's different with the Academy and my supplier, Ray Harris, down in Leeds Market, they actually prepare the veg on their site. They don't buy it in on a daily basis. So I place an order for 40, 50 kilo of battened carrots. I know at 2 o'clock in the morning, because I've been down and seen it happening, his guys are down there actually preparing it, so I know it's prepared fresh. I was first introduced to catering, turning pasties in a pasty shop in Cornwall. Thousands on a Saturday morning. And went on from there to bread deliveries, to the hotels, seeing all the chefs first thing in the morning. It was exciting. And it's a fantastic industry to be in.
Chef Richard Belt, doing things the school food plan way, long before the school food plan. I asked the plan's co-author, Henry Dimbleby, what concrete changes we'll see as a result of the plan.
There are 16 different actions looking at everything from the workforce to standards to cooking lessons in schools. But the biggest things that are going to happen, one is from September 2014, cooking lessons are going to be compulsory for everyone up to the age of 14, which is going to be change the way our children cook. Secondly, also in September 2014, all children's reception, year one and year two, are going to receive free school meals, which will change the culture in the schools. School meals in the primary school will become the thing to have.
Those changes to the curriculum won't be a problem at the Academy, as I discovered in Miss Thompson's food technology class.
These children are year eight, so they're about 12 years old.
The whole kitchen is stainless steel. We've got more kit up here than they have downstairs in the main kitchen. Food technology is one of the most oversubscribed subjects. Some classes have had slightly more boys in, but there's been a class with slightly more girls in. So
it's a Jamie Oliver effect.
A lot of them think they're going to be like that, although we have had some extremely successful students.
Who've actually gone professionally into this.
Yes. Little Wiggy, it's Stephen Wigglesworth, he is a professional chef. He was Yorkshire's young chef 3 years ago. It was a bit of a nightmare in the classroom, but my God, he could cook.
So all 12 children are rolling out the biscuit pastry, and using a fluted biscuit cutter, they are cutting out the biscuits. Can I ask you your name?
Destiny.
So you like cooking?
Yes.
What else have you made in this, in your food technology class?
Spaghetti bolognese, we've made vegetable curry, and last year we made scones.
So when you get to have a choice, are you going to choose to do more food technology, do you think?
Yeah, or probably.
What about at home? Do you actually cook there too?
Not exactly at home, because I've got a little baby brother, so my mum don't really cook with me, but when I go to my nan's, I do.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, how
Have we all got our biscuits?
There must be some schools who just could not do this. It's not possible.
You see, I think it's all about your priorities and what you want to do. Now, I'm perfectly prepared to accept that there will be plenty of schools where this would not be top of the priority list and doesn't need to be top of the priority list either. And that's fair enough. But actually, if it is important to you and you think it has to happen, just make it happen.
I asked Henry about the schools attracted by the school food plan, but who can only see obstacles.
Two answers to that. The first is, there are a lot of schools who have done it in your position. And if you read the school food plan, there is a lot of advice on what to do. So that would be my first point. The second thing is, there are a lot of organisations such as Food for Life Partnership, Children's Food Trust, who have real experience and can help you economically turn around your school meal service. They are all pitching for money at the moment. The government is putting forward to do this. So get in touch with organisations like the Children's Food Trust, Food for Life Partnership. They're there to help you.
Henry Dimbleby. The last word goes to former school cook Jeanette Ory, an inspiration to Jamie Oliver back in 2005 for the campaign that started it all. So what's changed since 2005? I mean, when Jamie and you came out with many of these ideas, there was a lot of hostility, a lot of, you know, that this wasn't really relevant to the life of most schools. You know, food was a soft option and we had to spend our money on maths and such like. What's changed?
I think what's changed is people's realisation that food has a fantastic part to play in the curriculum. I was at a school just this week in Derbyshire who had a parliament. They have a minister of food.
Is this a secondary school?
This is a primary school. And they have meetings with the head and with the cook and with everybody else. But they've included it into the curriculum. They've looked at their planning and they've said, actually, food goes into English, food goes into maths, food goes into history. And the children absolutely love it.
Do you think the school food plan will trigger the changes that we need in food?
I think it will help more head teachers to understand how you can make food an integral part of the school day.
You know more about what's going on with school food than anybody, really. What are you seeing on the ground? What are you seeing in those schools now?
I have visited 2,000 schools. Now, what I'm seeing in a lot of the schools is the cooks feel valued where they didn't before. What I'm seeing is people working together, which we didn't see before. What I'm seeing is cooks and catering staff and lunchtime supervisors working as a team. There are improvements to be made, and that's what the school food plan is all about. I believe it will create a wave, and that's what you need